Our scripture reading today is Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Are there any of you that like to watch Hallmark movies? Anyone? Wow, more than I thought. They are the perfect thing to have in the background on a snow day or a Saturday afternoon. You can usually smell a Hallmark movie a mile away with their wintertime themes and their predictable plots. Often it goes a little bit like this. A big city professional, single, overworked, and stressed, goes back home to a mountain town at Christmas, falls in love with someone who owns a tree farm. He's usually handsome, has a beard, and wears flannel. They hit it off at the town festival in a gentle snowstorm, and she quits her big city job to marry him and run the tree farm. The holiday scenes of our favorite Christmas movies are ones of mystical snowfall, Christmas carolers and holiday gatherings that give us all the warm, fuzzy feels of Christmas. They're great for families, they're wholesome, but for all their enduring qualities, many of these feel-good Christmas movies are out of touch with reality. That's why we like to watch them. They're fun, you know, and they're warm and fuzzy. But often our own Christmas experiences are a bit different than Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. Good one, by the way. Several years ago, a relative got sick and was in the hospital, and it was evident that we were not going to have the usual holiday feast that we were used to years before. Instead, we sat around a bedside and eating bland food from the hospital cafeteria in a hospital room that was far from festive. Christmas still happened that year, but it was a lot different than those idyllic scenes than we had seen on the movies. Without a Christmas tree, without a family feast, without all the relatives, Christmas still happened, though it looked a lot different than it did years before. Well, maybe your Christmas get-togethers are picture perfect, but if you're like mine, it's far from it. The pecan pie will get burnt, power may go out, the snow isn't pretty, it's pretty slick, or something serious happens. If you've ever had a Christmas, or if you feel like this Christmas life isn't the way that you expected, well, when you feel like life is anything but a Hallmark movie, when it doesn't follow the plot that we expect, we may be asking questions like, "God, where are you? God, are you here? Are you working in this moment? Is this for real? God, are you the one that I can count on?" Well, for John the Baptist, his life was more like Dateline than Hallmark. John the Baptist and Jesus were said to be cousins. John spent his life preaching, and he was a very eccentric character. Scripture says that he ate locust and wild honey. He was dressed in camel's hair. Christian tradition tells us that John was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures as a voice in the wilderness preparing the way of Jesus. John didn't beat around the bush. In fact, he got himself in a lot of legal trouble when he confronted Herod Antipas. This was the governor of Galilee, about an immoral marriage to his sister-in-law. He publicly denounced Herod, and because of it, he was arrested, imprisoned, and beheaded. Told you, Dateline. He met up with John, who had been in prison for a while now, and John had been in prison long enough to second guess everything that he spent his life preaching about. John thought the Messiah would come back with blazing torches, baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he probably sat in that cold, dark prison cell wondering if all of this was worth it. And in fact, he did wonder if Jesus was the one, the Messiah, that the prophets had foretold. So he sent his disciples, John sent his followers, to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus told John to go back, and Jesus told them to go back to John and to spill all the tea. The blind could see, the handicapped were walking again, diseases have been healed, the deaf could hear, the dead are being raised, the poor are having good news brought to them. Scholars explain that the actual Greek for the good news, it said the good news are brought to them, the good news, which means the gospel. The actual Greek is an action verb. In other words, it's not a noun, it's a verb that was used here. In other words, a better translation here might be the poor are gospelized. They experienced it, they lived it firsthand. They received it, they experienced it. These words speak of the Messiah in a very striking way. Jesus didn't come to gain earthly power. He wasn't going to overthrow the Roman government or anything physical. Instead, he came to serve people and to give them life. Although John thought that Jesus would come with blazing torches, baptizing with fire, Jesus announced that he would fulfill a different kind of scriptures. You see, centuries before, the prophet Isaiah predicted that a future Messiah would open the eyes of the blind, would unstop the ears of the deaf, and the lame should leap like a deer. This is from Isaiah. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. The kingdom of God was breaking in upon the world, just as the prophets of old and just like John the Baptist predicted. John certainly welcomed this good news when he was in a jail cell, wondering if Jesus was truly the one. Scholars tell us that the prevailing view in the Old Testament and among secular Jewish sources was that the Messiah would be some powerful ruler whose reign would usher in a new era of peace. Jesus knew that this wasn't what the believers were expecting, and that's why he said, "Blessed are those who don't take offense at me." I think this is Jesus' way of telling John, it's okay to struggle. I know I don't fit the plot. I know your life isn't fitting expectations, but this is the kingdom of God that is breaking in. So for John the Baptist, it was anything but it's a wonderful life. He must have felt a burst of hope in the midst of this gloomy situation. That God is working. That Jesus is the one that the prophets foretold. No, he didn't work in the way that John or others expected, but the gospel was being experienced and people were being transformed. Speaking of expectations, in verse 7, Jesus then turns to the crowds about their own expectations about John. He asks three questions. He asks, "What did you expect to see?" three times. The first, he said, "What did you expect to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" As Jesus often did, he chose metaphors that were very common for his audience. Reeds were like tall weeds that grew on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They would have been very familiar with this image. They were 6 to 10 feet tall, they blew easily in the wind, and they symbolized weakness or instability. Jesus here was speaking highly about John the Baptist. He was strong. He stood his ground. That's why he was in prison. And so Jesus asked the crowd two more times, "What did you expect to see? Someone in soft robes like Herod or a prophet?" Well, finally in verse 11, Jesus calls John the greatest human being ever born. Greater than Abraham or Moses, David, Elijah, and more. So even though he was doubting, I think Jesus was saying, just like John, who is great, people of God can doubt. People of God can ask questions. And John asked that honest question, are you the one or are we to look for another? Jesus answered by showing his works and how they fulfilled the ancient prophecies. He said, blessed are those who struggle. He honored and affirmed John, and he revealed that something was happening, that he was the one who was ushering in the kingdom of God, and God was at working far above and beyond John's wildest expectations. So John's question, are you the one, to Jesus, I think, is perfect for us here in Advent. Advent is the season of 4 weeks before Christmas in which Christians learn to watch and wait with hope. Advent reminds us that God came into our world and to our lives, and many times, well, this world is anything but a Hallmark flick. Jesus's birth was far from a Hallmark movie. And each of us know our lives are often not that cinematic either. Think about it. Jesus was born to an unmarried couple. They were refugees from another homeland. They were vulnerable. They were literally homeless. And it was into that situation that Jesus was born. They must have been very anxious about their situation, Mary and Joseph, as the children explained moments ago. But it was into this broken world, it was into a broken family situation, it was in a way less than ideal social situation that Jesus, our Savior Jesus, was born. It was into this broken world that our Savior Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us, was born. And that's what makes our faith unique as Christians. That God came into our world to be with us. God desires a relationship with us. God wants to know us. God wants to be the one in our lives that we count on in the midst of all the craziness of our lives and in our world. Like John, it may not feel like it or it may not seem like it, but Emmanuel, God is with us now. God is with us whether or not our lives look and feel like the Hallmark Channel. God is with us in the great times of life when a baby brings hope, when brokenness brings healing, when courage and trust bring new results, and when you feel like you're no longer stuck before. But God, Emmanuel, is also with us, especially in the desert places of life. In the brokenness, in the anxiousness, in the despair, in the sadness, as the psalmist wrote centuries ago, in the valleys of the shadows of death. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, we sang that a while ago early in the service, because God is Emmanuel, God with us, today can be a new day. We can experience hope, transformation, reconciliation, and fulfillment in our lives that is new. So I think John the Baptist's question, are you the one, is especially relevant in our world today that is so full of division and anxiousness and fear. When Jesus physically healed people, what happened is it was more than just a physical restoration. They were often marginalized because of their physical illness, and because of that, in their healing, they were brought back and restored into society. They were no longer marginalized when Jesus healed them. Their healing was also, very much so, it was emotional and it was spiritual. They experienced the gospel. They were gospelized. Gospel to them, good news, was not a noun, it was a verb. It was something that was done to them and for them, and it was something that was contagious that they went off and did for and with others. It's something that we do. We don't just hear the gospel here, we do it. And I think we should be really proud of the things that we've been striving to do to answer God's call in service. Just yesterday, so many of you were here, we had breakfast and we wrapped, well, I'm not good at math, but it was like 130 times three presents, a lot. And we did it in 2 hours. We had people from the community come. A few weeks ago, you know, we all pulled together for Forever Christmas. Last month, we provided so many meals to the food pantry. Thank you for all that you are doing in the name of Christ to gospelize, to make the good news not a noun, but a verb. It's something that we do. It's something that's experienced. So, are you the one? I think Jesus's question, or I think John's question to Jesus is one back to us. Are you the one that God is calling to step up, to go out and do a thing? Are we the one, are we the church that God is calling to go put our faith into action, to go share the good news, to help others experience it as we have? Are we the church that God is calling to go into the world? No, life is no fairy tale. Many times it is not a wonderful life as the movie was. But Jesus is the one who can show us the ultimate way in our world to live, and Jesus shows us the ultimate way to love. That's often how I sum up the good news. Jesus is the ultimate way to live and love in this world. We are the ones that Jesus is calling. Yes, we are the church. We are the ones, I believe, that God is calling for such a time as this. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, you are the one, and you desire to be the one that we look to and which we live our lives upon. Lord, help us to share your good news, to make the gospel not just a noun, but a verb, to share your love and help others experience it so the world may be transformed. Lord, you are the one. Help us to look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.